morning. Today's daf and sota is Lamed Zayin. Thanks to Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of Zecha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. We are finishing up today Har Grizim Har Eval. Har Grizim Har Eval has been a long discussion in the Gemara. It's brought back in the Mishnah. It takes us back to the Mishnah Lamed Beis, where the Mishnah introduced us to the things that are said by Lashon HaKodesh, a list of amiras that have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, and a list of amiras that can be said by Chol Lashon. The Mishnah actually goes the other way. First Bechol Lashon, and then Lashon HaKodesh. That which has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh is Har Grizim or Har Eval. After crossing the Yarden, we go into Eretz Yisrael, and 11 brachas and klalos are said at Har Grizim and Har Eval. The geographic location has been a debate. And then the Gemara quoted a brisa, a very lengthy brisa. And for the last number of days, we've been in and out of the brisa discussing some of the details of Har Grizim and Har Eval. We took a couple of detours yesterday, talking about how both Yehuda and Yosef were Mekadashem Shemaim. Yosef is Mekadashem Shemaim Bitsina. He sanctified the name of Hashem privately. Yehuda was Mekadashem Shemaim Bifarhesia. I got it wrong yesterday. It's not the first time. I got it wrong yesterday in terms of what the Kiddushem Shemaim was of Yehuda. We're gonna see that later this morning. I thought it was Sad Kamimeni, but as we'll see in the Gemara today, that's not correct. So that's what we're in the middle of discussing right now. The contrast of Kiddushim Shemayim of Yehuda versus the Kiddushim Shemayim of Yosef. So Yosef we discussed already yesterday. We have just a little bit more to go to finish up the Gemara's discussion of Yosef. We're on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud. So the Kiddushim Shemayim of Yosef, so even without the Gemara, I think we would have all guessed correctly, that has to do with Eishes Potiphar. Eishes Potiphar makes a petition, a solicitation towards Yosef, and the Gemara has various opinions in terms of whether he himself premeditated also in the act of Neof, in the act of adultery. But ultimately, when all said and done, though, he saw a vision of his father through the window, and that inspired him to resist the temptation. The Gemara says that's the Kiddushim Shemayim of Yosef. The Gemara gives a graphic description of Yosef resisting the temptation, and this is where we'll pick it up from where we saw yesterday. The Gemara quotes numerous psukim describing. Let's start from the vision. So, Baoso Sha'a. We did this yesterday, but we stopped. We stopped short. Baoso Sha'a. Basa Diukna Shal Aviv. So in the Gemara on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, we're about two-thirds of the way down. The first word in the line is Bata. Bata Diukna Shal Aviv. So in comes the vision of his father, Venir Salah Bechalo, and appears in the window. Amalo Yosef Atinima Achicha Shiyichtivu Al Avni Eifod Vatabinehem. So eventually the 12 sons of Yaakov are all going to be written down on the Eifod worn by the Kohen Gadol. Ritzoncha Shimacha Shimcha Beminehem Vitikor Ro Azonos. Do you want your name to be erased in further? Furthermore, do you want to be called Roa Zonos? There's somebody who hangs out with prostitutes? The Pasuk in Mishlei says that you hang out with prostitutes, Yovan Hon. You're going to lose your wealth. So Miyava Tesha based on Kashto. So Yosef resisted the temptation. So again, so even though he was close to not resisting his temptation, but Vatesha based on Kashto, he retracted physically. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir Sheshava Kashto Leitanav VeYafoz Zora Yadav Naatz Yadav VeKarka. What he did is he stuck his fingers into the ground. VeYatzah Shechazer MiBein Tziparnei Yadav, and the Shechazer came out through his fingernails. Now, again, do I fully understand this? No, I get the basic idea. The basic idea, of course, is that he did something to cause physical harm for himself in order to subdue his temptation. That little I understand. And the Gemara goes on to Darshan. The Avir Yaakov, the strength of Yaakov. What caused that his name be written on Avnei Afod? Ella Avir Yaakov. It is in fact the strength of his father. Meaning it's his father who inspired him to not resist, to resist the temptation. And as a result of that, so his name is still now on the Afod. Misham Roeh Evan Yisrael, Misham Zach of Naseh Roeh. He becomes the shepherd. Shenema Roeh Yisrael has Zino Nohei Katzon Yosef. Okay, so he now becomes a shepherd of the Jewish people. Tanya, the Gemara now quotes a brisa. Hayaroa Yosef Latzos Miman Yud Bei Shvatim Keder Shiatsu Miyakov Aviv. So just like Yaakov was going to have 12 sons, Yaakov did have 12 sons. Yosef, that was the plan. That was the original plan, is that he was going to have 12 sons. Shenemar, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Perfectly timed. This week's Parsha, the beginning of this week's Parsha. So these are the generations of Yaakov, and then the Torah doesn't give us the sons of Yaakov, even though at this point in time now he has 12, but rather Yosef. Yosef was supposed to be the progenitor. And I guess what the Gemara is saying, although the Gemara doesn't say this clearly, is that there's supposed to be four of us. There's four patriarchs, and Yosef was going to be the fourth patriarch. But Ela Sheyatza Shechvazer Mibein Tziparnav, Tziparnei Yadav. But what happened is that because the Shechvazer came out through his fingers, so therefore he did not have. Now, just in terms of numbers, the numbers here are very simple. He was supposed to have 12. He has 10 fingers. The zera comes out of his 10 fingers. So that's 12 minus 10. So it's 2. In other words, that accounts for the fact that Yosef had 2 sons. So in other words, he was supposed to have 12. Take away 10. That gives him only now 2 sons. Va'afa pikein yosef mibinyamin. Achiv. Now those 10 sons that he was supposed to have, so he didn't have those 10 sons, but you know who did? His brother, his full brother Binyamin. V'kula nikru al shmo. Now, Binyamin's 10 sons. First of all, they're recorded in the Torah. This I had prepared. So they, okay, they're recorded in the Torah. So when the whole family of Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, so everyone's counted, everyone's accounted for, except for the 70th, so that's Yocheved. She was born Bain Koslov, between the walls, Bain Achamos. But anyway, with Bnei Binyamin, so this is now Parshas Vayigash. Okay, a couple weeks from now. So Parshas Vayigash, Perek Memvav, Pasuk Chafal, Bnei Binyamin, and the sons of Binyamin are Bela Becher Veshbal, Gerim Naman, Achiva Rosh, Mupim Vechupim Vard. Okay, so 10 sons that Binyamin had. Now again, now we know a little bit better how we got to these number 10, aside from the fact that the Torah gives us a number, gives us the names, but again, based on the Midrashim, so you understand, it's really 10 of Binyamin, 2 of Yosef, those were the 12, and they were all supposed to come from Yosef. He was supposed to be the progenitor. The Gemara goes on to explain that, The Kulan, sorry, I lost my spot. Here we go. The Kulan Ikru Ashmo. All 10 sons of Binyamin were named after Yosef. Meaning, Binyamin, after having all these sons, so he named every one of them after Yosef. Shenemro Bnei Binyamin, Bela Becha Veshbal. Okay, so the Gemara quotes our Pasuk. Bela Shenivla Ben Omo. So in other words, every one of the sons was basically a commemoration, a memorialization of Yosef. So Bela Shenivla Ben Omo, he was small amongst the nations. Ubecher Bechor Li'imo Haya. He was the oldest from his mother, meaning again, a description of his long-lost brother Yosef. Eshbal Sheshabal Al Gera. Sheshavu El. Okay, right. Hakadosh Baruch Hu went to him. Gera Shigar Bachsanios. He was living amongst other hosts. Naaman Shenaim BeYoser. He was very pleasant. Achiv Arosh. Achihu Veroshihu. He's my brother. He's my head. He's the head of my family. Mupim V'Chupim. Halara B'Chupasiv. Ani Lara B'Chupaso. I wasn't at his wedding. He wasn't at my wedding. The heir Shiyar LeBeinu Umos HaOlam and heired because he went down to the Umos HaOlam. Rashi notes that the Gemara accounted for for almost all 10 of the sons of Yosef, except they glossed over, the Gemara glossed over Mupim. Mupim is not explained in the Gemara. If you take a look at Rashi, Mefurash beMedrash Rabbi Tanchuma, so he has a Medrash, beMedrash Rabbi Tanchuma, Sheyapiv Kepi Yaakov Avinu beHilchos Shekibel Mishem veEver. So Mupim from the word Pad means mouth, meaning what did Yosef know? Yosef knew the special Torah that Yaakov taught him. Yaakov had a special Torah that he learned, right? After leaving his parents, when his brother wanted to kill him, so he was supposed to go to Lavan. He did go to Lavan, but he took a 14-year detour. He went to Yeshiva Shem Be'ever. What did he learn in Yeshiva Shem Be'ever? So he learned Torah, right? Torah's Galus, the Torah of how to live outside and while under the influences of the world around. So that's 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. There's a Gemara, I think it's in Avodah Zarah, but there's a Gemara that says that we have a Masechta of Avodah Zarah. It's 5 prakim long. It's really not that much on Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu had a Masechta on Avodah Zarah. It's 400 prakim. So I guess the idea is that back then, when idolatry was much more prevalent, so there was much more to know about idolatry. So I'm just trying to imagine how you could spend 14 years learning Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, but okay, but obviously there was a lot to learn. So 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. So anyway, so... So that's the Rashi says. That's what we generated from Mupim. And by the way, we also know it's the Rashi beginning of this week's Parsha. Right? It worked out timing wise. It worked out perfectly. The Rashi in the beginning of this week's Parsha when Yosef is described as Ben Zikunim, right? Ben Zikunim. The simple pshat is that, you know, Yaakov had Yosef at an old age. But the truth of the matter is he also had Binyamin at an old age as well. But Rashi brings down a pshat, Ben Zikunim, that what Yaakov did is he transmitted the special Torah that he learned in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, so he transmitted it to Yosef. That's Rashi in the beginning of this week's parsha. Okay, let's go back to our Gemara. Igadami ve'erd, sorry, We didn't totally finish. Another pshat, shepan of damim leverid. His face was had the complexion of rose, right? He had a beautiful appearance. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'shar shemal paru li Yosef avladecha lo yarim ishas yado. So Paru was ready to deputize Yosef as commander in chief. No, not the commander in chief. That's Paru. But basically, you're next. And there's me. Here's the line of command. There's me, there's you, and then there's everything else. So the astrologers, right, the advisors to Paro said, come on, he's a slave. You bought him for 20 silver pieces. Come on. He's now going to become the ruler of Egypt? That's ridiculous. So Paro says, no, I'm basically looking at him. He's a great prospect. Right, Genune Malchus. I see. Right, Rashi. Gavne Malchus bechachma gvura v'yofi. Meaning, he's got basically all the tools to become a great leader. He's smart. He's strong. He's beautiful. He's handsome. Okay, and right. He, in terms of the vetting process is concerned, like he's great. So Amru lo im ken yehi yodeh b'shivim lashon. So the advisor said, yeah, but you know, you can't have a person in leadership who can't speak languages. He's got to know 70 languages. So Ba'gavriel v'limdu shivam lashon. Okay, so Gemara says that was his only thing that he was missing. No problem. Gavriel comes along, and Gavriel teaches him 70 languages. Lahava kagamar hosif lo osa chas mishmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lamad. So... And by giving him one more name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he was able to learn the 70 languages. Shenamar, and we've seen this before. We're seeing it again. Eidus b'Yosef sama b'seis el'eretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Tehillim describes Yosef, but with the additional hay. And why is that additional hay? So that gave him the tools, the equipment, in order to be able to learn the 70 languages. Ulamacher kolishna d'ishay par ba'aday ahadar le. Next day, in the vetting process of him becoming the viceroy, so Paro turns to him, and Paro speaks to him in a different language, and he responds in every language that Paro is able to speak to him. Okay, so he's passing the test in flying colors. So now Yosef turns the tables. Yosef now starts speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, and Paro doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. So Paro pleads with Yosef. Now this is ridiculous, right? You not only know 70 languages, but in addition to that, you also know Lashon HaKodesh. By the way, parenthetically, it sounds like Lashon HaKodesh is beyond the 70 languages, meaning it's Lashon HaKodesh plus 70 languages. So it certainly sounds that way from the Gemara. Either way, so Paro now is a little bit embarrassed, meaning I don't know Lashon HaKodesh. Teach it to me. So Agmer v'lo Gamar. So Yosef attempts to teach Paro Lashon HaKodesh, but it's just too late for Paro. So Amalei Ishtavali Delo Migalis Ishtavalo. So Paro says, look, this is embarrassing, this is humiliating. This is not the first time we saw a leader of the world had a Jew make a promise. We saw this back in Adarim. A similar circumstance. The last Tosfos on the Samad reminds us of the Gemara Nedarim. Anyway, so he promised me that you will not reveal this to anybody else, that you know more than I do. You know Lashon HaKodesh, I don't know it. So Ishtavalo. So Yosef makes a Shvua. Ki Amarle Avi Ishbian Lemor. Amarle Zil Ishul Ashvua Secham. So now we get to the end of Sefer Bereishis, where Yosef turns to Paro, and Yosef says to Paro, okay, no, I have to bury my father. Let me and my brothers go and go up to Eretz Yisrael. Let's bury our father. We'll come back. So Pyro's reaction? No. Right, we don't get the sense from the Chumash. Meaning from the Chumash, it sounds like no problem, go ahead. Right, from the Gemara, from the Medrash, the Pyro at this point already was difficult. No, you're not going. You made a Shavuah to your father. That's fantastic. So here's what you'll do. You'll go release yourself from that Shavuah. Meaning, but you're not leaving Mitzrayim. Amar Levi Ishali Nami Aditcha VeAfag. I'm sorry. So Yosef says to Pyro, Yosef now politically savvy, so he says to Pyro, look, you want me to make a Pesach on my Shavua? I'm also going to make a Pesach on another Shavua that I made also with you. Remember, I told you I wasn't going to reveal to anyone that you can't speak Lashon HaKodesh, and I promised. So if you want me to break my promise with my father, I'm also going to break my promise with you as well. I'll do that as well. So Yosef did not stand down. So Paro finally he accepted. And the Gemara says he wasn't happy about it, meaning he didn't want Yosef to go back up to Eretz Yisrael. I think the simple pshat is that he was just afraid that Yosef wouldn't come back. But he said okay, he acquiesced. Begrudgingly, and he allowed Pyro to go back. He allowed Yosef to go back to bury his father. Okay, breathe for just a moment. That really is the end of yesterday's daf. That was the digression. That was the detour of a description of Yosef. Now we remember the yesterday's gemara. We compared and we contrasted. Yosef was mekadesh shem shemayim b'tzedna, so he was given the additional hay. Hay was added to his name. That's part of Shem Hashem. So that was given to his name. Yehuda, who is mekadesh shem shemayim b'farhesya, so his entire name is Shem Hashem. Right, the yud kei vav. Followed then by another hay at the end. There's a dal there, but basically Shem Hashem is in the name of Yehuda, and that's because he was Mekal Shem Shemayim Befar Hesya. So yesterday I said incorrectly that there has to do with Satkami Meni. So the Gemara does not go there. The Gemara does not feel that that's the Shem Shemayim, the Kiddush Shem Shemayim Befar Hesya. So now that I'm wrong about that, so what is the Shem Shemayim Befar Hesya? The Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Detanya, as the Gemara says. Yehuda Maihi. What is the Kiddush Shem Shemayim by Yehuda? Detanya. Hiya, Rabbi Meir, Omer Kesham Du Yisrael, Ayam Hayu Shvatim Menachem Zeim Zeh. So the Gemara now is going to give two different and really opposing descriptions of what it looked like at Kriyas Yamsuf, right before Kriyas Yamsuf. The first version, we're not used to. We're not used to hearing. The second version, we're very used to hearing. But the Tanaim argue, these are later Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, the Tanaim are arguing now which is the correct version of what happened. So first, the first version, Rabbi Meir. So, hi, Rabbi Meir, Omer Kesham, Di Yisrael, Ayam, Hayu Shvatim, Naskim, Zeim, Zeh. Zeh, Omer, Ani Yorei, Tchil, Liyam, Vezeh, Omer, Ani Yorei, Tchil, Liyam. So there was a fight going on at the edge of Yamsuf, where each tribe was demanding that they go in first. Okay, the version that we're not used to hearing. And Kafa Shifto Shel Binyamin, and in this fight to go into Yamsuf first, so Binyamin, the Shevet of Binyamin wins out. Vayere LeYam Tchila, he goes into the river first. Shenemar Sham Binyamin Si'er Rodeim, the pasuk in Tehillim describes Binyamin as a Rodeim. Al Tikre Rodeim Ella Raid Yam, a contraction of he went down into the ocean first. Vayusar Yehuda Rogmimo, so, and the princes of Yehuda were like pelting Binyamin with stones. Shenemar Sari Yehuda Rigmasam, same area from Tehillim. Lefichach Zacha Binyamin. It's like Manasseh Shpizchan Legvura. Binyamin now, the Shevet Binyamin becomes the host of the Shechina. Right? We've discussed this a number of times throughout Shas, where basically you could take Yerushalayim, divide Yerushalayim between Yehuda and Binyamin, almost draw a line, right, vertically, through the north-south, through the Azara, and you're going to find that the Mizbeach, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron are all in the section of Binyamin. And the Gemara says that part of the reason why Binyamin gets that zechus of being the host of the Shechina has to do with their interest in volunteering to go into Yamsuf first. Shenamro Veng Tefav Shachin. Okay, that is version number one of Kriyas Yamsuf, one with that we don't hear that often. The one that we do hear, however, Amala Rav Yehuda lo kacha ya maisa. Rav Yehuda says, no, that's not how it happened, but rather this is how it happened. Maisa elaze amar ani, ein ani yore tchila liyam. Vize amar, ein ani yore tchila liyam. Nobody was interested going into Yamsuf because, for the simple reason that they all thought they were going to drown. So, Kafetz Nachshon ben Aminadav yared liyam tchila. So Nachshon ben Aminadav goes into the Yam first. Shenemar sevavun bechiche Shafraim uvemirma beis Yisrael beYehuda od raid am el am elva alav mefarish beka. I'm Kel. Ve'alav mefarish beKabbalah, and the Gemara points out that was the pasuk in Hosea. And on top of that, we also have another tradition: Hosea Elokim kibo ma'im ad nefesh tivati, biven mitzula ve'ein ma'amar v'chulei. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, where the water basically is going up. He's basically submerged in the water. Al tishtafeni shibos ma'im. Please do not allow me to be drowned by the water. Va'al tivla'enu mitzula. Don't let. I don't want to go under the water. And now at that moment, while Nachshon is submerged underwater, Moshe is davening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu yididi tovam b'yam v'ata marich b'tfila. And a very counterintuitive response by Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. You know, your people are drowning in the water, and now you're davening. I'm sorry, marich b'tfila fanai. I'm in front of Ribono Shel Olam. Ma'bi adi lasos. Moshe says, what am I supposed to do? I'm lo daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisu. What do you mean? What are you supposed to do? Follow, right? Go in with him. You lift your stick and your staff, and the waters are going to split. And as a result of that, Yehuda becomes now the leader of the Jewish people. Shenemar, why is it that Yehuda becomes the sanctified? Because following the pasuk and Hallel, again more prakim from Tehillim. So it's because the sea sees it, meaning Yehuda, meaning Nachshon, and Vayanos, and the sea starts running away, splitting as a result of the fact that we go into Yamsuf.
That's not an act by Yehuda himself. Referring to Yosef
and correct. That's one good observation. Agreed. Meaning, and that's why I thought yesterday that the Gemara was just going to simply say Yehuda Tamar Tzadka Mimeni, because I thought we were going to be comparing the personality of Yehuda and the personality of Binyamin. And the Gemara over here, it's a little bit of a curveball. I agree with you. The Gemara over here, it goes to a later generation. It's it's one member of Shevet Yehuda. Okay, agreed. That's the right. Okay, but obviously he's Nachshon must be a representative of the entire Shevet, but still, I agree with you. I didn't see the Gemara going over here, but obviously I was wrong. Let's move along. Tanya. Okay, we are back to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Meaning this has been a long detour, a wonderful detour, involving many popular Midrashim, now popular Midrashim. But it's been a wonderful detour, but really the backbone of this entire Gemara, going back to Lamed Beis. So really, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dal, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, today's Daf Lamed Zion. That's a lot of Gemara, where basically the backbone of everything has been Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And really, the backbone has been the Tosefta. The eighth Perek. So we've been quoting it again and again, and we're going to continue quoting it right now. So this is Tanya. This is where we are. We're in Lamed Zayin and Malaf. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. And more on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Yevshar Lamar, Leiv Lamata, Shekvar Nemar Lamala. Yevshar Lamar Lamala, Shekvar Nemar Lamata. Here is our problem. It's a really simple problem. Where is Shevet Levi during Har Gerizim and Har Eval? So the problem is that they're described in two different places. They're described above on one of the mountains, and they're described below by the Aaron and by the Kohanim. And that obviously presents a problem. So where exactly are they? So I'm now Perich of Zion and Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kisavo, Beit Sav Moshe Asam Bayam Hole Mor, Ela Yamdu. This is started in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ela Yamdu Levareches Amal Har Gerizim, Ba'avrechem Es Yarden, after he crossed over the Jordan River. So these are the group of Shvatim that are going to be standing on Har Gerizim, and they are Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So they're on Har Gerizim. And Eila Yamdu Ala Klala Bahar Eval, and these are the Shvatim going to be on Har Eval. and they are Reuven, Gad, Asher, Uzvulun, Dan, Naphtali. Okay, that so we have Levi now on Har Gerizim. We also have Levi between the mountains, because the Torah earlier describes that you're going to build the stones, you're going to eat there. And Vayidaber Moshe, sorry, yeah, this is going. I'm backed up to pasuk tes. Vayidaber Moshe v'hakohanim halavim al kol Yisrael lemor, and Moshe and the kohanim and levim are between the two mountains, and they're speaking. Okay, good. So, so we have a simple problem. What? Well, I just read he was. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. So this, I know, but the... This is a description of Arvas Moav. Okay. Right. No, you're right. But that was a description of Arvas Moav. Anyway, we'll come back to that. The Gemara later on is going to discuss that. Anyway, so let's go back to the Gemara. So where's Levi? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, "I'll tell you how to resolve the issue." So here is our first approach to the problem. So in terms of Shevet Levi was primarily on Har Gerizim. The Zakanim, there were elders of the Kohanim and the Levim, so they were between the two mountains. They were the ones who were basically managing the whole scene. That is approach number one. Approach number two, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kol Arei L'Sharis Lamata V'Asher Lamala. Approach number two, a similar approach, but not exactly the same. We're basically going to split up Shevet Levi. Some are going to be above and some are going to be below. Those are going to be above are those who cannot serve. Rashi points out over here, we know. The age of service for Levi is between the age of 30 to 50. From 30 to 50, so they serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So before 30, they're learning. After 50, they're retired. They move to the south, enjoy life. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, that's the breakup. So if you are of service age, you're below. If you are younger or older than that, so you are above. So Amar Kol Arei L'Sharis Lamata V'Asher Lamala. Rabbi Omer Eilu V'Eilu Lamata Heinomdim. So, and then the Gemara is going to give us a third approach, and that is the approach of Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Truth be told, says Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, is that all the Levim were below. So, my al besamuch. So, and the Gemara says, and what are you going to do with the word al? So the word al does not always mean on top of. The word al can be, as a preposition, can mean next to. So when we say al, but when it comes to the Levium, so even though generally means on top of, but as the Gemara is going to show us, there are a couple times in Chumash where the word al clearly cannot be on top of, it means simply next to. Okay, the time the Gemara says, I'll give an example. Menasata al hamareches levona zaka. So one example is where the levona, there was two spoonfuls of levona that were placed. Now the Torah describes it as being on the loaves, meaning on the lechem upon him. But as Rashi over here points out, it was not on top, but rather it was next to. Right, Shaya Moshev Shnei Bezich Levona Bein Shnei Hasadarim. Rashi writes, it was between the two columns. Rabbi Omer Abba Samachata Omer Abba Samach Oino Al Mamish Kishu Omer V'Sakosa Al Aron Havi Omer Abba Samach. Another example the Gemara gives is by the Paroches. The parochus, which is a vertical curtain, was placed, the Torah describes it as al ha'aron, on top of the aron, but the curtain's not on the aron, the curtain's in front of the aron. So once again, another example where al means besamach, it means next to, proximate, but it does not mean on top of. So over here, in terms of the Levium, Rebbe says, that's what you're going to say, that even though the Torah describes it as being on, Levi being on the mountain, but on does not over here mean on top of, but it means next to. It is admittedly a difficult pshat because you have all the other shvatim mentioned there as well. Eli Yamdu Lavarech Esam Al Har Grizim Bavrechemes Yardein Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar Yosef Binyamin. So it's a bit difficult because basically you're going to have to take Levi and separate them from the other Shvatim. The other Shvatim were on the mountain, and by Levi, I'll mean something else. Okay. A little bit challenging, but Rebbe says a pshat. Okay. Havchu panem kalpe hargrizim upaschu bebracha. We're finishing up. We're on the bottom of Lafen Zainam and Aleph, and we are now in the home stretch of discussing Har Grizim and Har Eval, and the Gemara over here now recounts the following. Now, in terms of the brachas of Har Grizim and Har Eval, meaning this has been the topic of discussion for nearly a week in the daf, but what we have not yet done is we haven't actually looked at the brachas and klalos. So, again, Perek of Zayin, Parshas Kisavo. So the Torah describes, first of all, the Torah only gives us a klalos. But, as we learned, the understanding is, the assumption is that for every klalos that's given, there's a bracha. How many are there in total? 11. 11 of them in total. V'anu alevim v'amro kol ish yisrael kol ra. Okay, and then the Torah goes on to describe, Arur ish asher yasef fesol masecha, to'avas Hashem maaseh yedei charash v'sam basaser v'anu kol ha'am v'amro amen. So I just read the first one, and there are 10 more to go. Okay, what is the common denominator of the 11 brachas and klalos? So stay tuned. I'll tease that a little bit. The Gemara later on will point out that there is a common denominator. I'll tell you the truth. If you were given additional time, and I should have assigned it last night for homework to look at it, but if you were to look at it. It's not easy to identify what exactly is a common denominator. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to propose one at the end of the daf. So that's something to look forward to. We will get to. In the meantime, however, the Gemara now is going to have the following discussion. Baruch beklal, baruch beprat. Arur beklal, arur beprat. Lilmod, lalamed, lishmor, velasos. Okay. Here's how every bracha and klala are going to be broken up. Generality specific, followed then by learning, teaching, shmira, and asiya. Take a look at Rashi over here. Baruch b'klal, baruch b'prat. Rashi is way above on the daf, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. It's at the top half of the Amud. Baruch b'klal, baruch b'prat. Rashi, kol ha-brachos v'aklalos nemru b'har grizim b'har eval b'chlal u'prat. Every bracha that was said on Har Grizim Har Eval was said in a general and in specific. Baruch Asher Yakim is Divrei HaTorah Zos, Ar Asher Lo Yakim, Harei Bechlal. So first, a general statement about you're going to accept as a covenant that you're going to accept the entire Torah. And Arur, and cursed if you don't accept the entire Torah. So a generality. V'chol Achaz V'Achaz Beprat, Baruch V'Arur. And then, after giving the generality, then the specific bracha and klala. For example, baruch asher lo yaseh pesol masecha, arur asher yaseh pesol masecha, v'chein kulam. So that's how it would go. So it would first be the general statement of kol ha-Torah, and then the specific bracha and klala that was given. Okay. Furthermore, next Rashi, lom olam and lishma v'lasos, kol ha-mitzvahs kulan te'unos arba eila. When it comes to every mitzvah of the Torah, so then, there are going to be four acceptances for every mitzvah in the Torah. Learn, teach, guard, and do. Rashi, Eilav l'imadatam osam u'shmartam laso osam k'siv l'imadatam osam es b'neichem v'chulei, harei kan arba mitzvos l'chol mitzvah. So there are four commandments for every mitzvah. V'al arba osam nimsru arur u'baruch b'klal u'prat. And furthermore, an arur and a baruch for every one of them. Baruch asher yilamdu, arur asher lo yilamdu, v'chein lalamed, v'chein lishmor, v'chein lasos. So for every single mitzvah in the Torah, what you have is the generality, the specific, the positive, the negative, and the four components of learning, teaching, guarding, and doing. B'chol echad arba brisos bris levarach bris. I'm sorry. Bris levarach bechlal, bris levarach beprat, bris lara bechlal, bris lara beprat. Okay, fine. And then the rest of Rashi really is for the Amud Beis. So let's go back to the Gemara. And now, for those of you who are already doing the computations in your head, so how many for every single mitzvah in the Torah? How many brisos are we talking in total? So the Gemara is going to do the math for us. So Tanur Rabbanan, I'm going back to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Baruch beklal, baruch beprat, arur beklal, arur beprat. Lomod lamed lishma v'lasos, harei arba, arba, v'arba. Harei shmona, shmona u'shmona, harei sheish esrei. So it comes out now to a total of 16. Right? Basically, we keep squaring, meaning it's 4 because it's luma lam and lishma v'lasos. We have to square that because we're doing that for the generality. We're doing it for the specifics. That's 8. We have to square that as well because the we're doing a bracha and we're doing a klala. So it gets us now to 16. Okay, so for every mitzvah, there are 16 brisos, krisos that are said on every mitzvah. Harei Shesh Esrei. V'chein b'Sinai, v'chein b'arvas Moav. Now, it wasn't just at Har Gerizim and Har Eval where for every single mitzvah in the Torah, there are 16 covenants that are made, but this was repeated historically earlier, one time at Har Sinai, and a second time b'arvas Moav. Okay, Har Sinai, obviously, 40 years prior. Arvas Moav, that was Moshe's last time speaking to the Jewish people. And then, after crossing the Yarden, once again. So now, just a little bit more math for today. So that's 16 in total. 16 times 3, 48. So for every single mitzvah in the Torah, that comes out now to 48 krisos. For every mitzvah. So, Shema Tamas Devar... Huh? 3 times 16.
We're at the
3 because it was done once at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. It was done once earlier at Arvas Moav, and it was done once again earlier even at Har Sinai. So those are the 3 times where the 16 were enumerated, so it gets you to 48. Shmartim Adivri Abrisazos. Nimsa Memchas Brisos Al Kol Mitzvah U Mitzvah. So now it comes out to that there were 48 covenants. It must have taken some time, right? With the assumption that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay, which, you know, that's generally how that works, right? The Moni HaMitzvos, which, okay, whatever. Let's just assume the 613. So for every one of the mitzvos, so 16 covenants for every one of the mitzvos. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Motzi Har Gerizim Har Eval Machtes Ol Moed Shemid Midbar. Now Rabbi Shimon removes Har Gerizim and Har Eval and substitutes it with Ol Moed in the desert. Meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon at Har Gerizim and Har Eval, it was just the 11 that are mentioned in Parshas Kisavo. But he does agree that this bris was repeated 3 times. So it was repeated, take out Har Gerizim and Har Eval and substitute it with Ol Moed. The Gemara says, and truth be told, is that really this issue can be correlated with another issue. We learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Klaus Nemer, Besina, Uprasos, Ba'ol, Moed. A very basic machlokus, very fundamental machlokus in terms of how the Torah was presented to the Jewish people. Okay, we know we have Mamad Har Sinai, right? 50 days after leaving Egypt. So Akash Baruch Hu appeared to us at Har Sinai and spoke to us. Now, we for sure know that what was presented to us was the Seres HaDibros. Okay. That much we know. Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning were we given the entire Torah at Har Sinai, at Mamad Har Sinai? Gemara now points out that this is really a basic machlokas. The Shitas Rabbi Shmuel is, no, that's not so. Meaning that we were given klolos, we were given the general ideas at Mamad Har Sinai. Right, the Seres HaDibros is, you know, an encapsulation of some of the fundamental tenets of Yadus that was given to us at Har Sinai, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, all the details. So that was over the course of time, right? Coming out of Ol Moed, meaning then we built the Mishkan, then we had a Mishkan, and then coming from the Mishkan, Moshe goes and he learns Torah and teaches it. Okay, that is Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, and Rabbi Kiva says no. Klalos upratos namru b'Sinai v'nishna ba'ol ha'moed v'nishtal shalabar bar v'smov. And according to Rabbi Kiva, no. The entire Torah was presented at Har Sinai, both klalos and pratos, the generalities and the specifics, and then repeated through Ol Moed, and repeated once again in Arvas Moav. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the entire Torah was presented at Har Sinai, both the Klal and the Prat. Ve'ein l'cha kol dvar mitzvah, mitzvah shekzuva b'torah shelo nichrasu ala, arba'im u'shmona brisos. And every single mitzvah, there were 48 brisos. Okay. Anyway, it's a really fundamental debate in terms of how the Torah was presented to the Jewish people. But the Gemara says that it correlates not to the previous machlokas. Meaning, previously, what do we see? Everyone is in agreement that three times did we make a covenant over the Torah, and every mitzvah 16 covenants. And so that means then that because it happened three occasions, so 16 times 3 is 48. Now the only issue is, where do these three occurrences occur? So according to the Tanakhama of the previous Braisa, so it was once in Arvas Moav, once at Sinai, once at Arvas Moav, and once again Har Grizim and Har Eval. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, take out Har Grizim and Har Eval, because only the 11 in Kisavo are mentioned over there, and replace it with replace it with Ol Moed. And the Gemara says, really, what is at the root issue over here is, was the entire Torah given to us at Har Sinai? So if you say yes, so obviously Har Sinai counts as one of the three. If you say no, so then Har Sinai can't count as one of the three. Okay, that's the Gemara saying. So that's how these two machloksim correlate with one another. Back to the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. It's about a quarter of the way down on the Amud. The first words in the line, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Ish Kfar Akko, Omar, Rabbi Shimon, Ein Lecha Mitzvah Shekesuva B'Torah, Shelo Nichrusu Allah, Arba'im Mishmona Brisos. So, for every mitzvah in the Torah, there are 48 brisos. Again, 48 because there were 16 brisos. And again, how we get to the number 16? Because there are four covenants for every mitzvah. Learn, teach, guard, and do. Then, both positive and negative, so that's 8, and every one of them first starts off with a generality and then a specific. So 8 times another 2, that's 16. So that gets us to 16, that's repeated 3 times, that gets us to the number 48. So 48 brises were said over every mitzvah, shel sheish meos elef v'shoshos alafim v'chamesh meos v'chamishim. And then on top of that, it was done for all the Jews that were there, 5,550. Sorry, let me do that correctly. 603,550. Now that number only represents the adult males. Okay, that serves a for a different discussion, which I'll bring up in a moment. Amar Rebbe Ladiver Rebbe Shimon Ben Yehuda Ish Kfar Akko Shamar Mishum Rebbe Shimon Ein Lecha Kol Mitzvah Mitzvah Shebetor Shel Nichrusu Allah Arba Ushmon Abriso Shel Sheish Me'os Elef V'Shoshos Alafim V'Chamesh Me'os V'Chamishim. So, now basically, in terms of the math, what you're going to have to do is take the number 48 and multiply by 603,550. So I did that this morning.
By hand?
No, not by hand. Did it with my phone. But anyway, it comes out to an exceedingly large number, 20 some odd million. Anyway, Nimtza l'chol echa v'echa misol, sheish meos elef v'shoshos alafim v'chamesh meos v'chamishim, and now it comes out that for every Jew, so you're going to have to multiply it by the 603,550 number. Now the Gemara says, now what are we really discussing? What's that issue over here? Avra Misharsha, Arva Arva da Arva Ika Benayu. So the Gemara says as follows. This is the source of Arevas, meaning, not only am I going to have to accept 48 times for every mitzvah my fulfillment of the mitzvah, but I'm going to have to repeat that now another 603,550 times. Because not only am I responsible for my mitzvah, but I'm responsible for every other Jew's mitzvah as well. The concept of arevas. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. This is the Gemara. Sota daf lamed zayin amud beis. This is the Gemara that speaks now about this idea of arevas, where I'm responsible for my mitzvah and I'm responsible for your mitzvah as well. Which, by the way, then, I'll just bring it up, not incidentally, it's not an incidental discussion. It's a pretty fundamental discussion. Are women included in arevas? So from our Gemara, you can make it, well, it is a machlokas. From our Gemara, you can make an argument that, no, because the Gemara over here is only taking the number of mitzvahs and multiplying it by 603,550, which is the number of males at Maimon Har Sinai. So it is a debate. It's a debate whether or not women are included in the concept of arevas. But anyway, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. So what the Gemara now is saying is, so here's really what's at issue. It's clear, everyone's in agreement that not only am I responsible for my mitzvah, but I'm an arev to you. I'm a guarantor for you. I have to ensure that you're doing the mitzvahs as well. And Okay, that's the and it complements the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that even after I fulfill my mitzvah, if you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah, I can do the mitzvah for you. Meaning, like shofar, for example, I was with Kiddush. I already fulfilled my mitzvah, but I could do it for you because Kol Yisrael Reivim Zebizeh. I can even make a bracha, even though I already fulfilled my mitzvah. But again, I'm also responsible for your mitzvahs as well. Good. That's clear. What is up for debate, says the Gemara, is that I know I'm a guarantor for everyone else. Am I also a guarantor? Am I a secondary guarantor as well? Meaning, am I a guarantor for my fellow Jews' guarantee as well? So, is there a second level guarantorship? I didn't say that well, but you understand that the Gemara says is subject to the debate. That's the machlokus over here. So basically, for sure, 48 times 603550, that goes without saying. Then on top of that, am I also going to be a guarantee for everyone's responsibility to be a guarantor? Which basically means I'm going to take the number again and multiply it by 603550. Okay. And that's the machlokas conceptually. Practically, what does that mean? If I now not only a first guarantee, but a second guarantor as well? I don't know. I'm not sure in practical terms what that means. But certainly everyone's in agreement of this basic idea of being a guarantor. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, Darsh Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachman miturgmei de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish kol haparsha kula lo namru ela ben noef ve noefes. Okay, last discussion that we're going to have today is regarding the 11 brachos and klalos at Har Grizim and Har Eval. Okay, and what is up for discussion now is there a common theme for all 11 of them? So the Gemara says, yes, adultery. Adultery is the common theme that links all 11. Now this is not going to be easy because what the Gemara now is going to do is, well, and Rashi is also going to do this as well, is that they're going to go through each of the 11 and connect it all to adultery. It's not self-evident. So the Gemara says, first of all, why are we doing this? Meaning, why is it that we are assuming that all this has to do with adultery? No Eif and no Ephes. So the Gemara points out, because you can't take the Pesukim at face value. Look at the first one, for example. The first one is, cursed is someone who makes a idol and starts worshipping it in private. Cursed is that person. We're talking about idolatry. Idolatry, Gemara says, it's beyond a curse, meaning that is the fundamental tenet, not to worship another god. So the Gemara says, "Baru sagile," it can't be that right now this is cursed such a person. It's more than cursed such a person. So Ella Zeabal Erva Vaholi Ben Vahalach Leben of the Kochavim. So the Gemara says it's a reference to someone who has relations with a woman who is illicit to him, an erva, and they have a child, and that child is not going to receive a proper upbringing. The child is going to go off the derech. He's going to serve idols. Over the kochavim, va'avad over the kochavim, arum aviv'imo shozeh shekach garmalo. And the Gemara says, and the parents get part of the blame, because it's the parents who involve themselves in an illicit relationship, therefore not giving him a proper upbringing, therefore he goes off the derech. The Gemara says, that's it. That's the explanation in terms of why we know that the pasuk is not to be taken at face value, but rather the entire discussion over here is no if and no ephes. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, I'll pause over here. Tomorrow, just to wrap up the discussion, Rashi takes us through some of the... Now I can actually assign it for homework. So take a look at the 11. Take a look at the 11 and brachos and klalos. Know that the Gemara over here's thesis is that the 11 have to do with noef and noefes. It has to do with adultery. And then somehow plug every one of them into the context of noef and noefes. So we already did the first one. So there's 10 more to go. The Gemara does not go through the 10. The Gemara just simply assumes that, okay, you'll figure out the rest. Rashi takes us through some of them. But even Rashi gets to a point where, you know, he basically says I don't. Some of them Rashi says. Well, actually, one specifically Rashi says I don't know how to do it. But okay, so we'll do that tomorrow. Finish up Har Grizim and Har Eval, and then start the next sugya and go on to tomorrow's Daf Lamed Ches.